I've always been one who's marveled at the skill of somebody who could draw or paint. To take a blank piece of paper or a blank canvas, using something simple like a pen or a brush, and some simple ink and paint, and create work of art that people look at and are marveled at. I would love to be able to draw like that. I mean, people look at my work and wonder. Usually I just look at my work and wonder, but that's another whole thing. As a student, I was fearful of using a ballpoint pen. You know, that time in middle elementary school, you get away from the pencil and you start working with a pen. I was always pretty fearful of that. I liked my pencil. Liked a nice sharp pencil or a good mechanical pencil. The sharp end was cool, but the most important part was on the other side. The eraser. I liked my eraser. Remember when they came out with erasable pens? They probably still have them. They're not very good. Don't trust them. But I'm still nervous about pens sometimes. I don't like the permanence of a pen. You know, what if I mess up? What if I change my mind? What if I misspell a word? And if you know me, I'm probably going to misspell a word. I don't know how artists do it. Their work always looks amazing. I don't think I could be convinced to share my art with others, to put it on the wall. You know, I'm lucky to draw a stick figure. You know, I need to trace something to get a straight line. You know, pencil is one thing, but those permanent markers, they make me nervous. You know, when I was young, we had a bench seat in our kitchen, kind of like the booth at a restaurant. On two different sides, we had a table in the middle, and I had one spot to sit in, my sister had another spot, and my father had a third. Now, my brother and my mother sat on chairs on the other side of the table, and we all had our spots. Now, my brother was probably, about 3 or 4 years old, and this is the 1970s. Let me paint the picture for you a little bit. I guess I can paint a little bit. The color of this bench, put it in your mind's eye, it's yellow, all right, with red piping on it, all right? You probably remember those. It happened to match perfectly with the orange and red utility carpet that was in the kitchen. Remember the days of utility carpet in the kitchen? That was a terrible idea. And of course, it fit in nicely with the yellow countertops and the yellow appliances. It was a sight to behold. My brother was about 3 or 4 years old, and my mother was a retired teacher, and she was still teaching Sunday school a lot, and she had lots of supplies around, and my brother got into her supplies, and when he got out, a permanent pen. Now, art and the beauty of art is in the eye of the beholder, and as a 3 or 4 year old, he was ready to make some beautiful art. So he took the pen and found his way into the kitchen, and as he was there, he saw the bench, and he wanted to mark the spots where each person was sitting. So he took the pen, opened it up, and put a big fat line where my sister sat. Then he put a big oval where I sat, and then he put a big X right on top of where my dad sat. He was moving over to the chair that he was sitting in when my mom went into the kitchen, and she let out quite a scream. He stopped dead in his tracks, pen in hand. He had no idea that what he had done was wrong. Of course, beauty in the eye of a beholder, especially to a young child, he had made some beautiful art. Now, I don't remember his punishment, but I'm sure it was swift. I'm sure it was painful. Because in my mother's eyes, his mark had ruined the bench. Something we can all relate with. I'm sure if it's not a pen, there was some paint in your house at some point that got on the wall or someplace that it didn't belong. Perhaps your kids got into the nail polish at some point and did some painting of things that aren't nails. At some point, there's a mark that was made that maybe in your eyes you felt they had ruined it. It was completely destroyed. And the punishment was swift. You know, there's another mark that we're all familiar with as well. It's another mark that brings swift punishment. It's a mark that we carry around with us. And tonight, many of you are marked by your sin. Out there for the world to see tonight, marked on your forehead, because like our first parents, we have rebelled. We have sinned against the Lord, not one time, not two times, but time and time and time again. And by our marks, we have missed the mark, and in so doing, transgressed God's laws. Now, perhaps it wasn't a thing that you have done, but one of those things you know you should have done, and you didn't. The truth is that everyone in this room, indeed everyone on earth, is a sinner, a transgressor, a rebel against the Creator. And we've been poisoned by death. And punishment is swift and sure. For death comes to all. Today on Ash Wednesday, sinners and saints alike leave church marked. You are marked with a cross, marked with the sign and the material of death. Cross, that ultimate punishment. Ash, what is left once something is no longer living. Here, heads become canvases, painted with ashes. The sobering words, "For dust you are, and dust you shall return," echo once again in our ears, just as they did to Adam and Eve. For we too have rebelled. The mark of sin is deep, and the wages of it are death. So perhaps tonight we think about, what does that mark on your forehead really mean? What's it saying about you right now? You know, some may see it as art, some may only see it as a stain, but when you leave this place, you leave with that mark of sin for the world to see. A couple of years ago, in between our two Ash Wednesday services, I went to a sandwich shop. I won't tell you which one it was, but it rhymes with Schmerzy Schmikes. Now, forgetting I had had ash on my forehead, I walked into the shop, and I was encountered with a very quizzical employee who was looking at me. You know, he had this look on his face like something was wrong, and I was like, I don't know why he's looking at me. And at first I'm thinking, I have something in my nose, or I have a zipper down, or something is obviously wrong. And so he started kind of stammering and stuttering, and he said, "Sir, you know, I don't really know how to tell you this, but there's you have something on your forehead. There's this," and before he could get it all out, the employee next to him hit him on the arm and said, "It's Ash Wednesday, you fool. You're not even Catholic, are you? It's a cross, and it's about Jesus." Sheepishly, that gentleman retreated to the back room. And I didn't see him again for the rest of my time in the restaurant. I think there are times when we are confronted by the cross of Christ that we too want to sheepishly retreat back to safety. But as I look out upon you tonight, I see that you've been marked. You've been marked by your sin. You've been marked by your faithlessness. You know, Lent is a season of repentance. And by the looks of it, there's some need in this room for repentance. Repentance is that time where we say that we are sorry for our sins. It begins when God's law confronts us and we realize that we are a sinner and we're driven to our knees to confess, literally to say what has already been said of you, that you are a sinner. But it doesn't end there. The conclusion of repentance finds its completion in Christ. In Christ is where it all is driving us to. The season of Lent has us focused firmly upon the cross. As we peek through it to see the empty tomb, we sang about it tonight. We know that the story has been written. We know that the grave is empty. Today, heads become canvases, painted with ashes, and some might see ugliness and death or a stain, yet it is not your death imposed on your head, but it is Jesus's death for you. Jesus became dust, the dust that we are for us. Our sin marked Christ. Jesus was marked with the scars of the nail and the spear for us. His hands and his feet and his side are marked with the scars, displaying the cost of our salvation. It's a pretty ugly and gruesome sight, seeing our Savior left to bleed and to die, hanging upon a cross. But what is most ugly becomes beautiful when it is in the hands of the Savior. When we look to the cross, we see something beautiful. It's the reason we make the sign of the cross at the beginning of worship, as we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's a reason that we process the cross in at the beginning of worship, to have that sure and certain confidence that Jesus Christ is with us. It's the reason that the cross is upon your forehead tonight, to remind you that you have been redeemed and won back because of what happened on that cross. At some point, hopefully tonight, you're going to wash your face. If not, your pillow is going to be pretty dirty. You're going to wash your hands. You're going to wash your face. And at that point, I want you to remember something important that happened in your life. A time where you too were marked. Not marked by your sin, but marked by your Savior. Where your sins were washed away as the word and the water were combined in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you were marked and sealed as a child of God, redeemed and saved and forgiven. It's one of the reasons we lit the baptismal candle today, to remind you of your baptism. You're going to have a tangible moment probably before you go to bed of water touching your face, touching your hands. And in that moment, I want you to remember the watery seal that was placed upon you by our Lord, who marks you as his own in baptism. And as the season of Lent begins, the marks of dust and ash remain on the heads of worshipers today. And they remind us of death, but they point far beyond. They direct our eyes to faith, to the death of our substitute, Jesus Christ, who is marked for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for marking us as your own in baptism. We pray that you would continue to move us to repentance, where you erase the marks of sin in our lives. Turn us to you this season and all of our days. In Jesus' name, amen.